Begin with this morning. I have chosen to preach on a little different text, and I'm going to read that for you at this time. From Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thought about heat, H-E-A-T, a lot this week. Probably wondering why. When we use that word, we tend to think of temperature, but yet it can be used as a metaphor, as in getting heat or metaphorically living in heat. So what I did was, is I thought about the two hottest jobs I ever had. Now, this is environmental, okay? Growing up on a farm and standing and watching the hay bales go into the hay mow, I always thought how cool that was. Being this little guy down there watching up and watching my brothers pack hay. Well, finally I was old enough and Dad wasn't around to stop me. And I got up there to help. Only to realize that what seemed to be a very pleasant day at about 85 degrees was about 106 up there. Well, once I started and they knew I could do it, well, then I had to be up there, right? Well, fortunately or unfortunately, depending upon how you look at it, as I got older, my allergies progressed and wouldn't allow me to go in the haymow. So I got out of that one. Later on in life, for a very, very short period of time, at a very, very different time in our country's history, right before I was married, I spent a few weeks working in a foundry. Now, in the summertime, there is no such thing as a cool place in the foundry unless you're an air-conditioned office. Now, I didn't have to work next to the furnaces, but everywhere was hot. And it was hot every day, and their idea of air conditioning was opening up one garage door on one end of the building and another garage door on the other, and that's what you lived with. And it was hot. Both situations help me relate to people that work in that kind of environment. In other words, it is experiences just like those two instances that help to shape us so that we can have conversation about such things. I meet a road worker who's working on paving a road and the temperature is 95 degrees, and he said you could cook an egg on the front of the truck. I can relate to that. My situation was different, but it gave me that mental understanding of what it means to be somewhere where it's really hot. And the list could go on and on and on, but it's those experiences that shape us and that help us relate to one another in good situations and in situations that maybe are not so good. In lay school, and you've heard me mention this in the past, I used an analogy once in explaining the text we were talking about by saying that life in the world that we live in is kind of like an oven. Again, here's that heat thing, right? That God takes us and mixes us up and creates what is going to be us in our mother's womb. Many of the ingredients the same, and yet no two alike. And all you need to do is look around the church to know that in places where we live. No one exactly alike. But yet, when we're ready to be born, the metaphor is God slides us into the oven. And then the world, and hopefully the Holy Spirit, begins to shape us into the people that we are. And blessed by the Spirit, we understand who and what we are in Christ, So we have that balance when times are tough. The lesson in Hebrews is simply out there because already at this time, people were starting to think differently about who Jesus was. And they began to pull it apart from one side to the other, to say that he was truly divine but not truly human, and yet he was simply human but not divine. And the author of Hebrews, by the way, it's the wonderful book of Hebrews, but we still to this day really don't know who wrote it. But he was adamant about driving home who Jesus is, was then, and always will be. And that is true God and true man. For in doing so as true God, he was a sacrifice worthy to die for our sins, to redeem us from our sins. And as true man, he could feel our anguish, our sorrow, our joys, and our victories. He could do all of those things because he was truly human, and he lived among us to gain the experience, just as children of flesh and blood, because he was flesh and blood. He saw the anguish. He saw the lack of hope. He saw people who lived in fear all their lives. And he grew up in this. It's a funny thing, in today's gospel, we don't hear anything about Jesus again until he turns 12. And then we don't hear anything more until he appears to John to be baptized. But what we assume is, we assume that he was raised in a family much like all the rest of us, that he was obedient unto his parents, being a loyal Jew, and that he would honor the fourth commandment. So it is assumable that he helped his father. It's assumable that he was the son of a carpenter, that this is what he did. But in the meantime, he lived among us quietly, watching, observing, and seeing the world with no hope. Simeon understood that hope came. For here was the child for the salvation of the world. Up to this point, the entire world lived in the darkness in the hope of the Messiah. And after that day, we live in the promise that the Messiah brought. Because in living among us and dying for us and rising from the dead, he took with us our sin, but he also gave us hope and drove away the fear of death. That regardless of how difficult days can be, that we go through them not alone, that we can live each and every one as a gift, and know that even at our last day, that too is a gift as well. In and through the Holy Spirit, he promises to be with us each and every day, and to be present when we share a meal, and we obey his command and do this for the remembrance of him. In that is the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that the world did not know until this point in time. And he continues to love us, to support us, and to stand with us in our joys, in our sorrows, in our laughters, in our tears. As each day comes, we know we are not alone. And unlike the people of the time, we continue to live in hope. This is a gift that is given to us. It's a gift that is to lead us in our daily lives, every day we wake up, every day we walk out, to know that Christ was truly human and truly divine. I can't speak for all of you, but I know what it does for me, especially when the world turns up the heat, to know that my Lord and Savior felt these exact same things, to know that he lived through much of what we are living through, that he felt that pain and that sorrow, and that he took it all the way to the cross for you and for me. And in doing that, He has enabled us to be able to live each day with confidence and without fear. Know that Jesus knew what it was like to be human. Know that Jesus felt what we felt. Know that Jesus came to that understanding and took that with him to a painful death and to a glorious resurrection that defeated sin, death, and the devil forever. And he did that for you and I. And God bless him for it. Amen.